In the name of that Savior, Jesus, who is Emmanuel, God with us, God present with us in this moment and in this space. Amen. Charles Dickens said it this way: "It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom, it was the season of light. It was the season of darkness, it was the spring of hope, it was the winter of despair." Now, for most people, I think, Christmas is the best of times, isn't it? In fact, I looked at the most recent Harris poll on this particular subject, "What's your favorite holiday, America?" And guess what the number one holiday in America was? Christmas. Yeah, among every age group and every ethnic group, Christmas was number one. Easter was number five. And Halloween was number three. Kind of sad in a way, maybe better candy at one another, I don't know. But I think it is sad that there's that much separation, and maybe we need to do a better job of really celebrating Easter, or maybe just a little bit different. I don't know exactly what that's all about. But when we talk about Christmas, I think all of us have really happy, fond memories of Christmas. I remember as a kid growing up in my little town in Pennsylvania where I grew up, and we'd go to church on Christmas Eve. And I remember getting a bag of candy. Any of you ever get that at church? And then an orange or an apple or something like that. And then we'd go home and a Christmas tree all be decorated and everything. It was just a great day. And I can remember the visuals of it. I can the delicious smells of Christmas time, the cookies baking, the songs, the Christmas carols, and all of that kind of stuff. And it's just a really happy time, and those memories just keep surfacing with Christmas. But what if you're not having a good time? What if this is not the best of times? Maybe it is the worst of times for you. What if you are having a hard time, and everybody around you is so happy and so joyful, and it's just not there for you this year because you're having a hard time with something, or a harder time with something, or maybe the hardest time of all? Let's talk about those for just a moment. Now, I want to clarify one thing. When I say hard time, I'm not talking about Christmas being an inconvenient time. You know, we say, well, this is a hard season, because all those people are out there on the road, all those people who are coming back from wherever they went, they're all back here, and they're driving around, and the stores are full, and it's really hard getting around, and all. That's not what I'm talking about. We're not talking about an inconvenient time. I want to talk about a hard time. I want to begin with talking about the man who is in our gospel lesson today, Joseph, who was having a hard time. Now, let's think about Joseph a little bit, put ourselves in his sandals. This man is a carpenter. He's a simple man. But he is engaged to be married to Mary. Now, I want to talk a little bit about engagement and marriage in the day of Joseph and of Jesus. It was a three-stage process. There was, first of all, engagement. Now, engagement sometimes was arranged between two families. But we're not sure how Joseph and Mary were engaged. God just doesn't give us that kind of information, because it's probably not important to us to know. But they are engaged, and then the second stage was betrothal. Betrothal was that time, lasted about a year, when you were considered to be married in a sense, but you did not live together. That was called betrothal. I remember 50-some years ago when I got engaged to my lovely wife. That's kind of how we thought about engagement. Now, I don't know if everybody thinks about it that way anymore, but that's how it used to be thought of. And then the third stage was the actual marriage. Mary and Joseph were in stage two. They were in the betrothal stage. And so what happens, we know the story, Mary is pregnant. And Joseph is troubled with all of this. And he had three cultural options before him. One was to stone her or have her stoned. Now, that was an option that was rarely, if ever, used in the day of Joseph. The second option was to make a public spectacle of Mary, thus clearing himself from all blame in any of this. And the third way was to do it more quietly, and that was simply to write a letter of divorce and to do this with a couple of friends in a quiet way. And that is where Joseph landed. This is what he was going to do. He was, quote unquote, going to put her away quietly. But he was still troubled by it. We can imagine him having many a sleepless night. And one of those sleepless nights, maybe, as he just gets to sleep and he's restless, God comes to him in a dream and he says, "Don't worry about it." We'll talk about that in just a little bit. But he had a hard decision to make. It was a religious decision. It was an ethical decision. It was a life-altering decision. What should he do with Mary? There are even harder decisions than that to make. Jesus was walking down the road one day, and he came across a man who was having even a harder time than Joseph was. He was a leper. Now, in that day, again, to get into the culture of it again, when you saw someone with rotting skin and there really was no treatment for it in that day, you stayed away from them, you avoided them. And a person who had leprosy was supposed to be away from everybody else. But we read, "And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling, said to him, 'If you will,'" Jesus, of course, "'you can make me clean.'" So here is this leper confronting Jesus. This man had probably lived a very difficult life ever since his diagnosis, a lot harder than the decision that Joseph had to make. This man was living with this terrible, terrible illness. And I dare say that he probably didn't even experience a human touch the whole time he had leprosy. We at least were able to do a little bit of fist bumping today, right? He probably never felt that ever since he had leprosy. You couldn't do that. If you were to touch a leper, you were considered unclean. So he had a harder time even than Joseph. But there are people who have the hardest of times, and that is when they're dealing with death. Jesus is again coming into a city, and he runs into a funeral procession. Soon afterward, he went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a great crowd went with him. As he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a considerable crowd from the town was with her. Now, ethical and moral decisions are hard. Dealing with a serious illness is harder. But death, especially around a holiday, is the hardest of all things to deal with, because this side of eternity, it is absolutely final. And again, to look at the cultural setting of this woman, we read that she was a widow, meaning that her husband had died. And she had this funeral for her only son. What that meant for her is that she was totally alone in the world. She had no one to help her when she was in trouble. She was completely and utterly alone. This was the hardest of times. And for those who are experiencing at this time of the year the death of a loved one, a spouse, a parent, a close friend, or even the death of a relationship, this is the hardest time of all. These are the hardest things that we have to deal with. Christmas time then can be for many a hard time, a harder time, and the hardest of times. There are those who have no joy. They have no hope. At least it would seem that way. They don't want any part of Christmas as they look at the rest of us running around rejoicing. I look around every time I come into this place every year and see how beautifully it's decorated. There's joy in my heart. I hope there is for you too. It's such a beautiful place to be and to worship. But there is no joy And yet, if you are one of those who are having that hard time with a difficult decision in your life, whatever that looks like for you, if you are one who has just heard a diagnosis of cancer, of a mental or an emotional illness, of heart disease, of ALS, or whatever it might be, whatever terrible thing we can conjure up, if you are one who has experienced in your relationships the death, or you know someone who has experienced death at this time of the year, these hardest of times, I'm here to tell you that Christmas is for you. Christmas is for you. A few moments ago, Joel read in our confession from Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Now, I want you to focus just for a moment on that word present. The word present is both a time and a space word. In other words, God says, I am here for you in this moment and in this space. I'm here for you right now when you need me. I will be your refuge. I will be your strength when you have no strength or when you need a safe place to be. I will be with you in all of those things. And God comes to be present with us. He is present with us in His Word today. He is present with us in the bread and wine of Holy Communion, where we receive the very body and blood of Jesus present with us. He is there present with us in the waters of our baptism as we are incorporated into His family. He is with us always. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And let's just look at how God dealt with these three situations that were very difficult. Joseph, in his hard times, is in his bed and probably an insomniac for some of the time, but he begins to fall asleep. And what does God do? He comes to him and sends his angel to assure him that everything's going to be okay, Joseph. Mary, what is with Mary, is conceived with the Holy Spirit, and he is going to be the Savior of the world. God is present with Joseph in that moment and place where he needs him. He does not leave him alone. He is his strength. And what about that leper? Well, listen to what Jesus did. Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him. Now, that act was amazing, because you do not touch a leper in those days. To do that, you would be considered to be unclean, just as unclean as that leper was. But what does Jesus do in his compassion, in his pity? He reaches out and touches him, this man who had not felt the touch of a human hand for years, perhaps. And then Jesus said to him, I will, remember to take you back, I will heal you. Be clean. And he was. And look, so Jesus is a present help for that leper at that time. And then look at what Jesus does when he goes into that city and he encounters that funeral procession with those who are having it hardest and dealing with death. Moved with pity. And again, we see this here. Jesus stretches out his hand and touches him. I'm sorry, I'm at the wrong one here. We're the dead son. He has compassion. Again, pity and compassion. Jesus has compassion on the widow, and he says to her, do not weep. And then he comes up and he does the same thing he did to the leper. He touches the bier. That, again, was forbidden. And I find what the bearers did was pretty amazing, too. They stood still. They're like, what are you doing, Jesus? Why are you touching this? You're going to be unclean. And he said to the man, young man, I say to you, arise. And the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. And I love the picture at the very end. Jesus gave him to his mother. He took him probably, helped him off the bier, and then he walked him over and put him into his mother's hands. Wow, that's who our Jesus is. Jesus came into this world because our times are hard. And we live in a world that is broken and is messy. You agree with that? It's a messy, broken world. And that's why Jesus comes. He comes because our times are hard. Our hard times are a result of sin. And we are only left with despair if there is not our God who is present with us during these times. And so God is a very present help at this time of the year. If you think Christmas is not for you this year, I'm here to say it is. God is still your refuge and your strength, a very present help in trouble. Now, I'd like to make a couple of suggestions, if I could. If you are one who's going through a hard time with a difficult decision, if you are dealing with, in your family or with yourself perhaps, an illness of some sort, or if you have experienced a death in your relationship, then Christmas is for you. Now, it might not mean what a normal Christmas is for you. It might not mean that you're going to win the house decorating contest in your subdivision. It might mean that you're going to say, look, I just can't go to all those parties or all those dinners that I used to go to. I had somebody today after the early service come up to me who I had conducted a funeral for her husband. She said, well, Pastor Jim, finally I put my tree up this year. This is a couple years ago. She said, I put it up last year, but this year I put a couple of decorations on it. And maybe that's all you can do. Maybe you can't put the tree up. But is Christmas really about the tree? It's about what God does for you in Jesus Christ. It is about the God who is present for you. And for those of us who are in the crowd, remember that crowd that surrounded that widow? Isn't it cool that she had that kind of support from those who were around her? This is a time for us to have compassion. You know, people who are going through hard times or harder times or the hardest times, unless it's solicited, don't need all of our solutions. They don't need us all the time to say, oh, don't worry, you'll be okay. That's not what they need to hear. They need you to be present for them. See, God gives us that example, doesn't he? To be present. Maybe they need your touch. Maybe they need your prayers. Maybe they need a calming word. Maybe they do, if they ask for your advice, need that advice. But give them space. And if they decline your invitation to go to their house or whatever it looks like this year, then accept that for what it is. Don't be offended by it. Don't try to push these folks somewhere where they don't need to be. They're in a hard place. But I'm here to say that those who are experiencing hard times, Christmas is for you. In fact, that is the main reason that Jesus came, for you, for those who are experiencing the hard times of life. Jesus comes as we prepare this Advent in a manger as a little baby. And then he goes to the cross to suffer and die, to deal with the hardest of all these situations, death. And on the cross, Jesus says, it is finished, death. It is finished, devil. It is finished, sin. It's done. It's over with. That's why Jesus comes. And then, 3 days later, he walks alive from the tomb. You see, Jesus comes for those who are experiencing the hardest times as he raises the dead, those who believe. Jesus walks from the tomb, and we look at that and we say, he is risen.
He is risen
indeed. Amen. Amen. May the peace of God be with you now and forever. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, for those who are going through the hard times, the harder times, and the hardest of times, we ask you to remind them and to remind us that you are a very present help and a very present strength. You are with us, Lord, during even this time that might be hard for those who see the joy all around them. Help us, Lord, to bring them the message that Christmas really is for them. It's for the Christ who brought hope and joy into the lives of those who needed him so much, all of us. Bless us during this Christmastide, O Lord, and during this time, help those especially who are suffering through difficult times, through their hard times. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.